Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. The Lord be with you. You know, I was thinking about the middle of the night last night that the Lord was speaking to me about how some people, you share a lot of truth about walking in the Spirit, what it is to be a disciple, and instead of having the normal reaction of, oh boy, you know, this is what it is to walk as a disciple of Jesus, and we have this opportunity, and so on and so forth, a positive, very positive outlook upon these things. Some people begin to get condemned, you know, and rejected because they don't feel that they are living up to what the Lord desires for them. And of course, the Lord has provided for us much greater than anything we've walked in yet. And thank God for that. It's exciting. Well, anyway, I'd like to address that. It comes up quite often, you know. It comes up quite often with people that may have had a background of rejection or overly corrected or condemnation or whatever, you know. Because the righteous will live by faith, won't they? We don't trust that because of our works we're able to stand, but instead we trust in God's works, which have already been sacrificed for us. Knowledge is important. We have to have knowledge to bear fruit. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, which are knowledge, right? That through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world by lust. It is by knowledge of God that we are able to manifest his divine nature and escape this world. At the same time, the Bible imputes responsibility to us when we get knowledge. And the devil uses this in many cases to condemn people. James 4 and 17, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is imputed, of course, when there is knowledge of sin. God is very merciful with our ignorance. So, along with the knowledge that we need to bear fruit and to grow up in the Lord, there comes more responsibility, and the devil is able to use that instead of us using our faith to call the things that be not as though they were. The devil is able to use that to condemn some people, because if you're condemned, you can't have faith. And so it's a vicious cycle. So I want to address that a little bit today. I may do it maybe in a couple of studies, but let's go to Romans chapter 3. I don't need to teach this. Paul's already taught it, right? And Romans chapter 3 is very, very good on this. I'm going to start back in verse 3, though. It says, for what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? Where does the gift of faith come from anyway? It comes from God, right? Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that's not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? For in Christ Jesus were you created for good works. So, it's a gift of God. Excuse me, I left that part out. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if we're without faith, where do we get it from? You know, the gift of faith that we receive from God is the grace of our salvation. And verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words. You know, we're justified by faith, aren't we? But what if somebody is without faith? Does that mean that God is not able to save them? Well, no, God is the one who gives faith in the first place. And you know, he can account righteousness to you because of your words of faith. You know, there are many people say, I don't have enough faith. We just went through a teaching here concerning faith and concerning the power of the tongue. And people think sometimes, well, they don't have enough faith. But just remember, the reconciliation that was accomplished at the cross, the exchange that was accomplished at the cross, what happened there? Well, in that exchange, we became Jesus Christ. His life was given to us, and our life was crucified on that cross. That's what it means, an exchange of his life for our life. Now it's no longer us that lives, it's Christ that lives in us. Therefore, we now have his faith. So, the question that is asked, what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? Well, see, they're still not beyond God's grasp, because God is the one who gives the gift of faith. He's also the one who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. See? And so, he tells us one thing that we can do. We can speak words of faith. And we can let our tongue be, like David said, the pen of a ready writer. We can write the word of God upon our heart. We can agree with God. We can let God be true and every man a liar. We can agree with God. And God will justify us for that. Gifts that we receive from God generally come because we're justified. We're accounted righteous, you see. And so, and he says that they might prevail when they come into judgment, right? So let me read on down here in verse 9. It says, what then? Are we better than they? In no wise. No, in no wise. For we before laid to the charge both of Jews and Greeks that all are under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. This is basically a picture of Jew or Gentile, Jew or Greek, that are not born from above, right? Everything is not born from above is going to end up in this category, right? There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, people think that born again is a one-time get-all-you-get experience, you know. But it's not that way at all, folks. You get a born-again spirit, you get a new spirit from God, and then as you walk in obedience to that spirit and the Word of God, your soul becomes born again. And it's called, in the Scriptures, sanctification, right? Your soul, your nature is being renewed in the image of Jesus Christ. And that's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's sad that people will preach that, well, you got all you're ever going to get when you got saved. Well, no, you got saved by faith. And now you're continually walking after these benefits that the Lord has given to those who are saved by faith. Okay? Then he gives us the recipe for success here. He says there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it speaketh to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be brought under the judgment of God. What's all this about? You mean God has to prove that we're sinners? Yes, he does. He has to prove to us that we're sinners. And that's the whole point behind the law, is to prove that if God gives you what he wants without giving you a new nature, then you will fail. It will condemn you. And like it says here, that every mouth may be stopped. No man will be able to justify himself before God because of the law, right? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world be brought under the judgment of God. It's necessary that we first know that we're sinners, right? And chapter 11, it says, verse 32, "For God has shut up all unto disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all." How is he shut up all unto disobedience? Because of the law. The law made every man disobedient. The law proved what we read here in Romans chapter 3 from 10 through 18. That every man is a sinner. We have to be proven to be sinners in order to know that we need mercy. And God says that he has shut up all under sin, that he might have mercy upon all. And his all there is talking about his elect, not all of the world, because it never works out that way. But the truth is that we need to know that we're sinners. We need to know that we are in need of God himself giving us the gift of salvation. And the gift of his own works, too, because the problem is that the law proves that our works are inferior. Verse 20, "Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Well, why is that? Because the law, for instance, in Leviticus 25, let me read that to you. Excuse me. Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 17. "If anyone sin and do any of the things which the Lord hath commanded not to be done, though he knew it not." See, nobody can claim that they have kept the law. That's the whole problem. "Though he knew it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity." He was a sinner, whether he had knowledge of sin or not. Not so in the New Testament. Obviously in the New Testament, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But here, according to the law, you are held guilty to the written law. Okay? Not the law written upon your heart or your mind, but the law that was written on the tablets. Okay? Verse 18. "He shall bring a ram without a blemish out of the flock, according to thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make atonement for him concerning the thing wherein he erred unwittingly and knew it not. And he shall be forgiven." Not cleansed like the New Testament, just forgiven. "It is a trespass offering. He is certainly guilty before the Lord." So we've all broken God's law. The great thing is we have a trespass offering that's a continuous one. We don't have to continue to sacrifice animals in order to have God's forgiveness and cleansing. You know, because we have a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, something that the law could not do. We have a Lamb that gives us this born-again experience, spirit, soul, and ultimately body. "Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin." And we know in Galatians chapter 5 that we're told in verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again to every man that receiveth circumcision that he's a debtor to do the whole law." Of course, Paul's point is that no matter what part of the law you attempt to keep in order to feel justified before God. It won't do you a bit of good. And the reason is because you have to keep the whole law to be justified before God. So it made it impossible for a person to be justified. As a matter of fact, chapter 3 and verse 10 says the same thing. But as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. Okay, so anything that you do to seek to be justified before God will fail. I mean, even in the New Testament, you can do things to seek to be justified before God and it will fail. Because you're just using the New Testament as a law. You're not having a grace relationship with God. And so, the people who gain knowledge and are immediately condemned, they're condemned by the devil because the devil doesn't want them to have faith. But they're condemned to separate them from their faith so that they will never have power to obey. And so what we need to do is realize that nobody has been able to keep all of the will of God that's written in this book. But we can accept that sacrifice of Jesus Christ and we can walk justified before God because of our faith. We're told that if you seek to be justified by works, then you're going to have to keep all of the works in order to be justified. And it's not possible, folks. It's not possible. Notice he said here, too, in Romans chapter 2, he says, for through the law cometh the knowledge of sin. And again, knowledge can bring condemnation. We're told in verse chapter 7 and verse 8 that apart from the law, sin is dead. And Paul said, I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Meaning what? Meaning he was now held responsible because he knew the will of God. Okay. Now, God's got a solution for this. Okay, we know the will of God, but we fail in many things, James said. So, we have to avoid what the Bible calls willful disobedience because there is condemnation for willful disobedience. I mean, that's a premeditated, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'll let you take the sacrifice and you can forgive me later, but I'm going to do it, you know. So, it's a premeditated thing that we never get away with. You know, Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. So we need that sacrifice, folks. Willful disobedience robs us of the sacrifice. People say that it's all under the blood. No, it's not. Not a willful disobedience. You have to pay for that yourself. And God gives you a whipping to prove it. You know, a certain fearful expectation of judgment, you see. So what do we do about the knowledge received? Many times, many of God's servants desire to serve Him, desire to walk in His truth. And in such cases, God loves them, and God's for them, and God's going to help them. But they have to be careful, because the devil also uses knowledge to bring condemnation. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. He uses it to bring condemnation to separate them from faith so that they cannot receive the benefits of God. Well, there is knowledge of sin that we fail in. And we fail to live up to our own knowledge of God's will. So the solution, of course, is we have to constantly remind ourselves that we're not justified by the works of the law. We're not justified because we're able to keep all of God's law written in His Word. Even if we use the New Testament that way, we're not able to justify ourselves because we have done and kept everything we see there. Okay? So God's solution for every one of us, and we have to keep reminding each other of this, Because the devil is quick to drag people down. You forget about it for a while. You study the Word. You gain knowledge. You feel like a failure sometimes. But you need to renew your mind constantly with the revelation of what grace is. And how God is judging us. And how He's not judging us. So let's read that part. Verse 21. But now, apart from the law, a righteousness of God hath been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, unto all them that believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned. So you cannot be justified by keeping all of God's word. And if you sin in one thing, you are a sinner, you see. Unless you can accept by faith this gift of God, right? Watch. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace. In other words, outside of keeping all of the law, being justified freely by His grace. We have to keep reminding ourselves of this because the devil is going to keep reminding us of our failures. And he's doing it to try to drag us down, you see. We have to walk. You know, if you've got a sickness, you get your eyes off the sickness, you get your eyes on the Word of God, which says, by His stripes you were healed, right? Well, we were healed spiritually as well as physically. And we need to get our eyes on the promise. We're justified by keeping our eyes on the promise. And we're drugged down when we get our eyes on the problem. See, the Lord has given us the solution. Now we've got to accept it by faith, okay? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now remember, redemption, apolutrosis, it means a release on payment of a ransom. See, we were held captive by the devil and by the curse, and the Lord paid the price to set us free. He paid the price. He is our sacrifice. He paid the price. We couldn't pay it. We couldn't be obedient enough to justify the law or the New Testament. We can't be obedient enough to be called holy any other way than this method right here. And that is being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. A propitiation is, of course, a covering, right? A covering. In the Old Testament, it was a halasterion, and it was an atonement, meaning an atonement, a covering for our sins. And that covering is because of our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. He poured out His blood unto death. He gave His blood. It was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, basically. The Lord gave His blood for our blood. Why do we need a blood sacrifice? Because our blood, which carried the sins of our parents, the nature of our parents, and by which we pass on to our children, our blood is what makes us a sinner, right? The life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11, right? The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, Jesus Christ gave us His blood as an atonement. We have it by faith. We accept it by faith. And this gives us a propitiation, a covering. And it's a meantime thing. People don't understand. Some people think that this is all we need. We can live the rest of our life any way we want to live because we have a covering. No, remember, willful disobedience has no sacrifice. And this covering is a meantime thing because there is two workings of the blood. There's a blood covering and there's a blood cleansing. And the covering is a meantime thing until the cleansing comes. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. Right? So that's God's will. Now, how do we get from here to there? Well, that's where we need the blood covering. If we want any fellowship with God, if we want God's favor in all the things that He does for us, which is grace, right? we want God's grace between here and there, then that's why we need this covering. And this covering is only going to be given to you because of your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. That you now have His blood and not your blood, right? That's the only reason this covering is given to you. You're justified by faith and not by your works. If you had to be good enough before you could get the gift of God, then you've got no hope. Because what you're dealing with right now is your nature. And you can't be better than what you are. Only God, who is Lord over all, and all flesh is submitted unto Him, can make you what you are not, you see. And it's kind of like picturing yourself, picking yourself up by your bootstraps, right? You can only do what you are. And thank God for the propitiation so we can get between here and the cleansing. See, once the cleansing has taken place, we don't have to deal with that particular part of the flesh because it's been cleansed, right? But God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to show His righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. Well, we always need that, don't we? We always need a passing over of the sins done aforetime, right? And the blood covering covers not only the sins that we've done in our past, but in the future it will have still cleansed us of the sins that we've done in our past, which is the sins that we may be doing right now, you see. The blood covers our ignorance. You know, in many things, we may be contrary to God that we don't know about. Now, we notice in Leviticus chapter 5 that even if you didn't know about it according to the law, you are still guilty. So, no man could be justified by the works of the law, right? You can be forgiven by the sacrifice, but you can't be justified by the works of the law. Because even in your ignorance, you have failed God somewhere. Right? You ever hear people, and you've asked the question too, and I have too, you know. What if I'm offending God somewhere and I don't know it? Maybe is that the reason this particular curse is upon me? Because I've offended God somewhere and I don't know it? Well, if you don't know it, it's not sin. God's not holding it against you. Now, I know some people deny outward immorality is even sin, you know, because they want to. That's the reason. But they know better. Their conscience condemns them for this until it just finally shuts up and doesn't talk to them anymore, right? So they have seared their conscience, as the scripture says, you know. So there are people that justify anything that they're ignorant of. But we can't be ignorant. We need to continually look for truth and in order that we might bear fruit. Because, as you know, the truth of God's word is what gives us His divine nature and the benefits to all of the kingdom. But our ignorance, which was not justified under the law, is now totally justified before God because the blood covering covers it, you see. And so our ignorance, you'll never have to say, is God cursing me because of something that I don't know about? First of all, He's not imputing sin against you. Now, He may bring you through some hard trials in order to reveal to you what's down inside, like He did Job. But Job wasn't receiving a cursing for any sin that he did, you see. He was going through this fiery trial to reveal the self-righteousness that was in him so he could repent of it. When he saw it, then it became a sin and it needed to be repented of. Before he saw it, God said, call Job a righteous man, right? And so that's a lesson for us. Sins done aforetime. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 tells us, Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And not only that, I'm going to back up a little bit and read a little bit more of this. Verse 18, But all things are of God, who reconciled us unto Himself through Jesus Christ, and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses. And that's the way it is because of our blood covering, not reckoning unto them their trespasses. You may be falling short. You may be falling short in your faith, in your works. But justification, the blood covering, is applied through your faith. So don't dare let your failures or your falling short bring you into condemnation, because you'll be separated from the blood covering and from justification, right? So having committed unto us the word of reconciliation, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, we're able to go and bring this word of reconciliation to others. He is not reckoning unto us our trespasses. He has given this a gift of passing over of the sins done aforetime. And Romans 3 and 26, for the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. This is God's gift to us. We are justified through faith in Jesus, not because we've obeyed everything, not because we've attained to what we know is right. We're justified before that time. Now, why are we justified before we do the works of Jesus Christ? Because without justification, we have no entitlement to the benefits of Jesus Christ, the nature of Jesus Christ, the holiness of Jesus Christ. And faith gives us that. You see, we have to be justified before our actions are proven godly. And we're justified by faith. Now, if you walk by faith, you get the benefit of Jesus Christ, which is that divine nature. Seeing that his divine nature hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life, Zoe, God's life, and godliness. We have to see that he has already granted this unto us. That's the faith that calls, that gives us the justification that we need in order to get his benefits, right? So as you are right now, if you are not walking in willful disobedience, you desire to serve God, you're grieved that you're not living up to the standards that you know are godly, God's on your side. He loves you. He's not condemning you. The devil is, because he wants to separate you from the blood covering. He wants to separate you from justification. He wants to separate you from the benefits of holiness that Jesus Christ gave to you freely. And so I think we have to teach on this more often than a lot of things, because people lose sight of it so quickly. The devil reminds them of their failures. And one of the problems is we look in the mirror and we see the old man and all of his failures and his foolishness. And the Bible says you're just going to be a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word if you do that. Read James chapter 1. That's what it says. So instead we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, because we don't live anymore. He lives in us. And that's how we're justified. That's the gospel in a nutshell there. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. So, he is the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. Where then is the glorying? Well, that's one thing that this system that God created totally does away with, right? Any glorying on our part. We are saved by grace. It's his mercy that reaches down and gives us a gift of faith to turn to him to receive the grace that we need to walk in his presence. So, no glorying. It's all excluded. By what manner of law? Of works? In other words, of the works of the law he's talking about, right? No, not of any works of the law, but just through faith in Jesus Christ. Nay, but by a law of faith. This is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It sets us free from the law of sin and of death. The Old Testament was a law of sin and of death. And even today, if you're not under grace, you're under the law of sin and of death. Coming into grace is what separates you from that and gives you the benefits of the kingdom, the benefits of the propitiation, the covering, and the benefits of the justification, which means accounted righteous. Accounted righteous. We can all be accounted righteous. As long as we don't walk in willful disobedience, we can be accounted righteous because we believe that Jesus Christ took away our sins. The Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, right? Oh, thank you, God. This is an awesome, awesome benefit that the Lord has given to us. In Colossians 1, we don't want to be separated from this awesome benefit. 21, and you being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith. The devil wants to do anything he can to separate you from the faith, because as long as you're continuing in the faith, God says that he's going to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. Because faith is accounted as righteousness, as Galatians says. Faith is accounted as righteousness. Now, you can't be walking in faith and willful disobedience, because your heart will condemn you. You see? And so, verse 23 says, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The good news that Jesus bore your sin and bore your curse, right? And so, back in our Romans text, we're told we're justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yea, of the Gentiles also. If so be that God is one, he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. We only have one way to God, folks. There are people preaching a false gospel out there that the Jews had their own covenant. There is only one covenant. There's no other name where in we must be saved. Jesus Christ is it, folks. No other. It's a false gospel. It's catching on right now. Verse 31, do we then make the law of none effect through faith? God forbid. Nay, we establish the law. So there's only one way that the law can be established, through faith. We can't be good enough to keep it all. It can only be established through faith. It's the only way that we can be justified, so that we can receive grace, so that we can keep the law. You know, grace is God working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are able to walk well-pleasing in his sight because our sins are covered, and his grace gives us power to obey. And obedience is what the law points us to, but it gives us no power to attain to. And that's why no one could be justified through the law, right? What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, hath found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not towards God. Well, if he was justified by works, it would have been by keeping the whole law. He could not have been justified before God. But many people brag because of what they have done. I mean, even if it's good works, they think that this gives them an edge with God. But if they forget that they are a failure, a total failure in keeping the will of God, and that the only way they can be justified is through faith in Jesus Christ, then their bragging proves that they don't understand the gospel. They don't understand that the Lord cannot accept any self-justification through any works. You know, there's a gospel going out there today that if you can't be justified before God unless you tithe. And so what? These people feel, Well, okay, I'm going to tithe. That way I can be justified before God. No, that's another false gospel. It's a lie, and it's a stench in God's nostrils. It's not in the Word. If you go looking for it, you can't find it. You know? The truth is that is manipulation by preachers who want to make you support them, whether you have a willing heart or not. But God loves a cheerful giver, and He wants it to come from your heart, right? So anybody that does that is dragging you under the law, justification by works of the law. And God says that that's accursed. It's a curse for the people that do it, and it's a curse for the people that believe it. So repent of that and turn away from it, and don't listen to those people. Again, it's just manipulation. They want your money. So Abraham was, for if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not towards God. Well, that is so true. You know, I mean, we just saw in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 that a man can be justified in his words by simply agreeing with God, saying, God, your word is true. I agree with that promise. That's mine. You know, I accept your word as true. And of course, that's really a work of faith, because you are saying by faith that you believe and accept that promise. Let God be true and every man a liar. And it's a way of being justified, you see. It's a way of proving your faith. I, by my works, will show thee my faith, James said in James chapter 2. And so in Galatians 2, by the way, we are told, I'm going to read that to you, in verse 16, yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we believed on Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's like God is saying, look, we've said it three times here, it needs to sink in, right? When God repeats something like that, He really wants you to get a hold of it, right? But if, while we sought to be justified in Christ, we ourselves were found sinners, is Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. See, some people say we're just sinners saved by grace. Well, they don't understand what justified is. If you're a sinner, then you're not justified. See? Okay. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. Very clear. For I, through the law, died unto the law that I might live unto God. And I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. That's the sinner. He's dead. He's gone, right? We're justified because the old man was crucified with Christ, and he doesn't live any longer. That's why we're justified. But Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You're living in the flesh. But you're trusting in God. You're not walking by sight in your failure and your foolishness, but you are trusting in God. You're claiming with God that you don't live anymore, but Christ lives in you. And he goes on to say, I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for naught. If you could be good enough to be acceptable with God, then Jesus died for nothing. If you could keep all of the things that you believe God wants you to do, then Christ died for nothing. So we're told that Abraham was reckoned righteous, and he's reckoned righteous apart from the law. And he says in verse 4, chapter Romans 4 and 4, now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. See, if you are able to do by your own strength everything that you think you need to do, then God would owe it to you. But it ain't going to happen. It would be the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. Okay, but we're never going to be justified. We've got no way to get from here to there, you see. Evil cannot become righteous. There has to be a change of nature that has to come from God, you see. And it only comes because we're justified through faith, right? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. So that's our hope, folks, that along this path of drawing closer and closer to God, entering more and more into his godly nature, and having his godly nature enter more and more into us, along this path, there's no way to walk this path. There's no power to walk this path, this hill that's constantly going upward, without justification through faith. And the devil seeks very earnestly to separate us from that. Because if he can, then we'll live under condemnation, we'll have no faith, we'll have no justification, we'll have no power from God, and our path upward stops immediately, you see. And so we have to be reminded of this so that we'll get back on the right path here. And, you know, Abraham wasn't justified because he was able to please God in himself. He was justified because he believed God. And in the case that we're talking about in Romans chapter 4, that God could give him a seed, can you imagine? It didn't have anything to do with what people call salvation nowadays, but you see, we're justified when we call God true and every man a liar, when we agree with God. It doesn't matter whether it has to do with what we, quote, call salvation. But it has to do with us believing God in any trial that he sends our way. And Abraham, who was not able to bring forth fruit, meaning a son, and Abraham and Sarah were not able, they were a picture of those under the law who could not please God. They were not able to bring forth the fruit. And yet, he looked unto the promise of God and wavered not, verse 20 says, through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith. That's how we do it. We wax strong through faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. We trust that God is able to do in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is able to do in us what we cannot do any other way. So we put our faith in him as Savior. And he forgives our sins, even while we're in the midst of them, you see. In fact, I'm going to read on down here in where we were in chapter 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Now here's our hope, folks, that even while we're failing, God justifies the ungodly. Even in the midst of our failure, he justifies the ungodly. His faith is reckoned for righteousness. Now here's a guy God's calling righteous when he's failing God. That's the good news. So you out there who have more and more knowledge of God and the path of God and what pleases God and what it is to walk in the Spirit, don't let this drag you down. Instead, you're supposed to keep your eyes on the Lord and on the promise. It's him in you that's going to bring to pass and be obedient to his word, right? Even as David also pronounced blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from his works. Reckoneth righteousness apart from his works. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Will not reckon sin. Glory be to God. Is this blessing then pronounced upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say, to Abraham his faith was reckoned for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? See, when the flesh wasn't cut off, was he reckoned righteous? Or when it was cut off, was he reckoned righteous? Well, it was before it was cut off that he was reckoned as righteous. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision. So, the obedience came later. You see, God justified him while he was in disobedience, and the obedience came as a sign of his faith. Meaning what? Meaning God gave him this gift of obedience through his faith. You have to hold to your faith, folks. Do not walk by sight. Do not look at yourself. Don't look at your failures. If you're in willful disobedience, repent, because you can have no grace from God, and that way you get nothing but judgment. You have no sacrifice either. Hebrews 10:26. But that wasn't Abraham's situation. He was failing in a type to bring forth fruit. And he had no ability within himself to bring that fruit forth. Neither did Sarah. So in his faith, which I might add didn't really come to pass or to fruition until the last year before Isaac was born. Go back and look at it. You'll see what I'm talking about. He was stumbling in his faith and stumbling and stumbling, and he only became steady within the last year when he was believing God to bring forth the promised seed. And God brought it forth. And many of you have wasted a lot of time in unbelief. And what you need to do is keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on his promise. Don't be distracted by your failures and your foolishness, because we all have to come out of it, you know. Get your eyes on justification through faith in his blood. If his blood is yours, then you have his nature. The life of the flesh is in the blood, you see. Now, reconciliation is an exchange of his blood for your blood. You were crucified with Christ, and now he lives in you. You keep your eye on that, he will give you his faith. He will give you his gift of obedience, right? Meanwhile, you got no choice. If you want to walk with God and walk in his favor, which is his grace, you're only going to be justified because you accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on your behalf. And like Abraham, you know, he looked unto the promise of God and wavered not through unbelief. Look to the promise. It's God is the one who's going to bring this to pass, folks, not us. And we just keep our eyes on his promise. Lord, you know what you're dealing with here, and it's dirt. We're just the clay, you know, and you're the master, right? And we see your promise. We know that you've promised us your divine nature, and that we are to see that through your precious promises, we are to be partakers of your divine nature. And so, we even need grace from God to hold fast. We need to ask God to give us his grace so we may hold fast to his promises. Because Ephesians 2:8, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of your works. I added yours, of course, but that's what it's talking about. Not of your works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were you created for his good works, right? And I added his, of course, because that's what it's talking about. His good works. Our works won't get us anything. It's his works that are everything. And he's the one who plans to come and live in us and do his works. Praise be to God. It's a precious gift from heaven. It's the only way we can walk with him. Again, between here and the cleansing, we need this grace to be able to walk with him. When the cleansing comes, I mean, it's coming constantly in our life as we walk in the light. And, of course, he's cleansing away the old life, the old man, and bringing to life the new man. That's what the washing of the water of the word does, right? But this doesn't happen without faith. So we have to hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not, because he is faithful that promised. Any time we're not doing this, we're wasting time. We're not progressing, climbing the kingdom of God, right? We're not progressing. So God bless you, saints. I hope this encouraged you a little bit, you know, and reminded you of something you already knew but needed to be reminded of. And God bless you, and stay encouraged in the Lord. He's on your side. He loves you. He's going to bring it to pass. God bless you. Good night.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, guiding light, the shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. Oh, your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. Oh, your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in you. I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.